نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد دي قرآن has a very strong connection with the blessed month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is that month in which the Quran was revealed. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Indeed, we revealed it. We revealed the glorious Quran in the night of Qadr, in the Laylatul Qadr, in the night of power. Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qudrah is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qudrat, power, might, ilm, knowledge. Sam'a, hearing. This is also an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basar, seeing. That is also an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we accept Iman, we affirm our faith and Iman with these words, Amantu billahi kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He is with all His names and all His attributes. So Quran is also an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is His word. And attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are azali. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is azali. And attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are also abadi, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is abadi. Azali is that thing which has no beginning. It has always been there. And abadi is that thing which has no end. It will remain forever and ever. So Allah is azali and abadi. And it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at one time could not hear and thereafter He started hearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not speak and after some time He began speaking. Allah could not see and after some time He began seeing. Allah did not have any knowledge. After some time He became knowledgeable or His knowledge began increasing. No. Allah has always been there. And each and every attribute of His has always been there 100% to the full. It has always been there and it has always been 100%. And He will remain the same and all His attributes will remain the same forever and ever. So this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is His word, His kalam. From Alhamd till Wannas, it has always been there. And it will always remain. And this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was with Him, it was transferred into Allawhul Mahfuz. Bal huwa Qur'anun Majidun fi Lawhim Mahfuz. It is the noble Qur'an in the Lawhim Mahfuz. So the very first time people were able to see this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was when it was transferred into Allahul Mahfuz. When it was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creatures could not see, the malaika could not see the kalam of Allah, the word of Allah. But it was transferred into Allahul Mahfuz. Now the malaika were able to read. Those who were given the permission, those who were given access. From Allahul Mahfuz, it was transferred to the first heaven in a place called Baytul Izzah. Baytul Izzah. So the whole Quran was transferred from Allahul Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah. And the very first verses, or the whole Quran, bit by bit, was revealed from Baytul Izzah to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sometimes a ruku, sometimes more than a ruku, sometimes a few verses, sometimes only one verse, sometimes a part of a verse, according to the needs. Now why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal the whole Quran in one go? وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا. The mushrikeen also raised this objection. Why is it that the Quran is not being revealed in one go? So the answer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise. And whatever He does is full of wisdom. In 23 years, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam experienced so much pain, so much grief, so much torment. Whenever he would be overcome with grief and pain, anxiety, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam would descend with some revelation, new revelation. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would find peace. He would find that the coming of Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam with their revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was very soothing and consoling. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have revealed the whole Quran in one go in Makkah Mukarrama, then the visit of Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam would have stopped. And the process of consoling would not have remained. So this is one hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hikmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to gradually reveal the Quran so it does not become difficult for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to grasp. Imagine the whole Quran being revealed in one go and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having to ponder over the Quran and try to understand in one go. The Quran was revealed bit by bit. Sometimes a ruku, sometimes a verse, sometimes a few verses, sometimes a piece of a verse. And that gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ample time to reflect on the message that the Quran contained. Also, if the Quran was revealed in one go, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majma'een would have had to start practicing the whole deen in one go. A few verses today, a few verses after a week, this command today, this command tomorrow, third command after a week, another command after a month. Slowly, slowly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was nurturing the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alihim ajma'in. So Allah is very wise, and it was His affection, His compassion, that prevented the Quran from being revealed in one go. So from Baytul Izzat, bit by bit, the Quran was revealed in 23 years. The first verse is being, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akramu alladhi allama bil-qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. The last verse being, Wattaqu yawman turja'una fihi ila Allah. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ اقْرَأْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ. Read in the name of your Rabb who has created. Created what? Created everything. اقْرَأْ, read. So read. Read in the name of your Lord who has created. And that Lord who has taught you, who has granted you ilm. So in these very first few verses, the theme is ilm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing the believers, the humans, to read, understand, accept, practice and propagate. Reading. Reading is the beginning. When you read, you understand. After understanding, one is able to accept. When one accepts, he is able to follow. And when he follows, he is able to preach. And thereafter, the Quran is being revealed. Read, understand, accept, practice and preach. That was the first message. And after that the Quran began. Now why do you have to read? Why do you have to understand? Why do you have to accept? Why do you have to practice and why do you have to preach? The last verse. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear that day when you will all be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ. Then each person will be given in full whatever he had earned, good or bad. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. They will not be wronged. They will not be oppressed. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. An atom of good, people will see it on the day of judgment. An atom of evil, people will see it on the day of judgment. Each person will be punished for the wrong he had committed, and each person will be rewarded and retributed for the good that he had done. So the very first copy of the Quran was in the Lawhi Mahfuz. Thereafter, Baytul Izzat. And thereafter, the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nazala bihi ruhul amin ala qalbika litakuna minal mundhirin. Ruhul amin descended with the Quran on your heart. According to the ulama, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is that month in which the Quran was revealed. Now the Quran was revealed in 23 years. The whole Quran was not revealed in the month of Ramadan. Neither in one month nor in various Ramadans. It was revealed in 23 years. The revelation of the Quran spreads out in 23 years. Some verses were revealed in Ramadan, some in Shaban, some in Muharram, some in Dhul Hijjah, in various months. But this verse says the month of Ramadan is that month in which the Quran was revealed. And in the month of Ramadan too, only during the night of power, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. We have revealed this Quran in the night of Qadr. So the whole Quran was revealed in one night of Ramadan only. Whereas the reality is that the revelation of the Quran was spread out in 23 years. The answer is, the very first revelation that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was in the month of Ramadan in the night of Qadr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was in the cave of Hira, as was his practice to spend time in the cave of Hira. He was in the cave of Hira. It happened to be the month of Ramadan. It happened to be the night of power, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasallam came with the very first verses. That is one explanation. Second explanation. The Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. The whole Quran was transferred from Lawhi Mahfuz to Baytul Izzat in the month of Ramadan. In the night of power. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam used to revise the Quran with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس وكان أجود ما يكون حين يلقاه جبريل And Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما further says فيدارسه القرآن The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was the most generous of the people. Most generous. So during the 11 months of the year, other than Ramadan, he was the most generous. Nobody could compete with his generosity. Ramadan used to dawn upon him. In the month of Ramadan, his generosity would increase. So he was the most generous of the people. And he was more generous in the month of Ramadan than himself in the other 11 months. And when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to meet him, he would become even more generous. Because of the barakah of the meeting of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was more generous in the company of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam than himself during other moments of Ramadan. Now Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come and he would read the Quran. فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ دَارَسَ يُدَارِسُ مُدَارَسَةً Both of them used to read the Quran to each other. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to read the Quran. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam used to read the Quran. Every night Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come. Because during the night it is more peaceful, it is more quiet. one is able to concentrate more. And during that day, hustle, bustle, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had other engagements, so he would come during the night. And daily both used to recite to each other. According to some ulama, they both used to recite the Quran to each other, the whole Quran, the 30 juz, although they were not revealed. So when they used to meet each other, it was the miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that only during that moment when Jibreel is reciting the whole Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew the whole Quran, and then he would also recite. But after Jibreel alayhi salatu wasallam leaves, then he would only remember that portion which was already revealed. Because the 30 juz were completed before the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Jibreel alayhi salam used to come every year, the whole Quran did not exist in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it was a miracle that when they both used to meet each other, they would read the whole Quran. They would complete the whole Quran in the month of Ramadan, like we do in Taraweeh. And according to the opinion of another group of ulama, they would recite only that portion of the Quran which had been revealed to date. And before the demise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, there was a very secret conversation that took place between Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha came to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that Fatima came towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when she came, her walking style resembled the walking style of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because she was the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when she came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to her in private. We could not hear what the conversation was. And I saw that upon hearing something, Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha started to weep. And after a while, she started to smile. So I saw her crying, and very quickly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something, she began crying. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something else, she began smiling. So she became unhappy on something, and thereafter she became happy, overjoyed. So Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was very keen to know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because she was very, very greedy for ilm. Harisah. She was harisah, greed. She had greed for ilm. And it is for this reason she conveyed many ahadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the ummah. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi has said that there are six people who have narrated the most ahadiths to the ummah. One of them is Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So she said to Fatima radiyallahu anha that I have never seen happiness come so quickly after grief, like today. You were crying and suddenly you started laughing and smiling. I have never seen happiness come so quickly behind grief as I have seen today. What was the conversation that took place between the daughter and the father? So Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha said, my dear mother, it is a secret between me and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Shari'i injunction is that secret remains a secret. It is amana. Now secrets are of two types. One is that it should remain a secret until I die. For example, if I spend £100,000 in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the presence of Maulana Ahmad, and I say to Maulana Ahmad that don't let anybody know because I fear riya. I fear riya. Don't let anybody know. So Maulana Ahmad will understand that a person can only fear riya until he is alive. After death, there is no fear. So this is a secret that will remain until I die. After I die, he may tell anybody he wishes. And there are certain secrets which will remain secret until another person is alive, because that secret is associated to that person, for example. And there are certain secrets which will remain secrets forever. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, I have heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam so many ahadith that I have filled two big utensils. Hafiztu min Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wi'a'ain. I have filled two bags. That means I have heard a lot. And in my heart and mind, all the ahadith that I have accumulated, I have put them into two files, two categories. Like we do in the computer, two files in my mind. One file, one bag, I have distributed to people. And the other file, I have not distributed. Because if I was to, then I fear my life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam spoke to Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala regarding the fitan, regarding the trials and tribulations that were to befall the ummah. And it all began during the time of Uthman radiyallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had indicated everything to him. So he said that if I was to mention all the things with the names that were to take place, people would murder me. So certain secrets remain secret. Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told him the names of the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. He never disclosed it to anybody. Umar radiyallahu anhu was very, very firm in regard to iman and nifaq. Very strong in matters of nifaq, hypocrisy. So he would very carefully, when attending janaza, see whether Huzaifa is participating or not. If Huzaifa radiyallahu anhu did not participate, Umar would not participate. Because he would understand that this person must be munafiq. And Umar radiyallahu anhu had so much fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he one day asked Huzaifa radiyallahu anhu that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you the list of the names of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. I know it's a secret between you and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one should not give away the secret. But I am only concerned about myself. Am I in that list? Am I in that list of munafiqeen? Please confirm for me. Huzaifa radiyallahu anhu said, no, O Amir al-Mu'minin, you are not in that list. So secrets. Nowadays, if a person desires to spread some rumor, then he just has to tell one person and say, don't tell anybody. It is amana. A person does not even have to tell you, don't tell anybody. Without him telling you, don't tell anybody, you cannot tell anybody. And there are, it's common sense. Certain things are secret. For example, if I was told that tomorrow is Eid and the Hilal has been sighted, it's not secret, so I can tell anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted such a person a child, it's not a secret. But certain things are secret. And it is amanat. Without his permission, we cannot disclose to anybody. So Fatima radiallahu anha said, Ma kuntu li'ufshiya sirra Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will not give away the secret of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me narrate to you another interesting story. When the husband of Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu approached Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said, I am offering you my daughter in nikah. Will you accept her in your nikah? Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, let me think about it. And after a day or two, he said, no, I am not interested. Jazakallah. So Umar radiallahu anhu approached Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. I am offering you my daughter in nikah. Would you accept her in your marriage? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala did not say anything. Neither yes, nor no, nor I will think quiet. One day passed, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, nothing. And after a few days passed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a proposal for Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Umar radiallahu anhu became very happy. And Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha became the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar radiallahu anhu became the father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was father-in-law. Umar radiallahu anhu was father-in-law. Usman radiallahu anhu was son-in-law. And Ali radiallahu anhu was son-in-law. When Hafsa radiallahu anha got married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thereafter Abu Bakr approached Umar. And he said that you proposed Hafsa to me and I did not respond to you. And I feel that you are unhappy. So he said, yes, I am unhappy. I am unhappy more with you than Usman. Because Usman at least had the courtesy of giving me an answer. You could not even give me an answer. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam discussed Hafsa with me. Because Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we were sat together on our own and he said, I have the intention of marrying the daughter of Umar. Now if I said yes, I want to marry your daughter, how could I do that when I knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had intention? And if I said no, I do not want to marry your daughter, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided not to, I wanted to become your son-in-law. It would have created, it would have strengthened the bond that was always there between the two of us. You become my father-in-law, I become your son-in-law. If I said no, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said no, then it would not have been possible for me to get married to her. So I remained quiet waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take the decision. And the reason why I could not tell you this was because it was a secret between me and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were best of friends, but he tolerated the grief of Umar for a few days, but he did not give away the secret. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was told by Fatima radiallahu anha that my father said something to me and I cried. Then he said something to me and I smiled. That is a secret between me and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. When he passed away, Aisha radiallahu anha remembered. She was keen to know what happened between the two of them. And she knew that certain secrets remain only until the death of the person. So she approached Fatima and she said that now you are in a position to tell me what happened that day. So she said, yes, now I can tell you. Now I can tell you. My father said to me that every year Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam comes in the month of Ramadan And we revise the Quran with each other once. This year we are revising the Quran twice. And I feel that this is a sign that I am soon to depart. I am soon to depart. So because of the grief of the separation of my father, I began crying. So when my father saw me crying, he said, "Does this not make you happy? That from my family, you will be the first to meet me in the hereafter. Does this not make you happy? That you will be the first to meet me in the hereafter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you the Sayyida of the people of Jannah. The leader of the people of Jannah." So she said, I started smiling. And Fatima radiallahu anha lived only for 6 months after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she passed away. Now the ulama have raised the question that why is it that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come recite the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite the Quran to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam? The ulama have answered that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the ummah to very strongly attach themselves to the Quran in the month of Ramadan more than during the other 11 months. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that my ummah has a lot of love for my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if he carried out something, they would also carry it out. And alhamdulillah, we see this today, that the whole ummah, the attention it pays to the glorious Quran during the month of Ramadan is unmatchable. Some people read 5 juz daily, some people read 10 juz daily, some people read 15 juz daily, some people read 20 juz daily, some people read 30 juz daily, some people read 60 juz daily. Extraordinary performances, extraordinary achievements. So let us also attach ourselves to the glorious Quran. It was mentioned on Friday that 3 very important things for us to progress in deen. Number 1, islah, tazkiyah, purification of the heart. Very important. Qad aflaha man tazakka. That person has become successful who has purified his heart. So purification of the heart, number 1. Number 2, imani kayfiyat. A person has iman but does not have the kayfiyat of iman. Kayfiyat of iman encourages a person to carry out many good amal. So you have a person who has iman, he believes everything, but he does not have the kayfiyat of iman. Then the smallest amal will become Mount Himalaya for him. Smallest amal will become a burden for him. And you have another person who has iman, and with iman, kayfiyat of iman also. Taste of iman. For this person, the most difficult amal will become very easy. For example, Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, for tawheed, to bear the persecution of the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah, mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarramah, became so light that he would say, ahad, 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 ahad. He used to enjoy, ahad, ahad, Allah is only one, Allah is only one. No. I will not leave Allah. Allah is only one. Allah is only. The kayfiyat of iman. The taste of iman. The emotions of iman. The jazba of iman. Which encourages a person to do things. money is needed for the cause of deen, he will give away everything. Like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu did. The kayfiyat of iman of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was higher than the kayfiyat of iman of Umar. So he gave his all wealth away and Umar came with 50% wealth. So the kayfiyat of iman is very important, because it is through, the more the kayfiyat increases, the more the good amal will increase, the more the mujahada will increase. And through mujahada, through good amal, a person comes nearer and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more the sacrifices will increase. So one is purification of the heart, very important. Number two, to increase the kayfiyat of iman in our hearts. When we hear that my iman is weak, my iman is weak, my iman is strong, in da'wah and tabligh, the brothers talk about making the iman strong. So iman in itself neither becomes strong nor weak. It is this kayfiyat that becomes strong and weak. Sometimes we say, my iman has decreased, my iman has increased. No, iman remains as it is, because the iman itself cannot decrease. Iman decreasing means that I believe in everything except alif lam mim. So my iman has decreased. No, iman never decreases. It never, my iman and your iman, everybody's iman is same. It is the kayfiyat of iman that decreases and increases. So when a person goes in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 days, for 4 months, and he comes back with the kayfiyat of iman increased. So you see a complete change in his life. Similarly, when a person goes for Hajj, Umrah, and he performs Hajj, Umrah in the correct manner. Similarly, a person who spends his Ramadan in the correct manner, who sits in Etika for 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, the kayfiyat of Iman increases. Similarly, when a person sits in the company of his Sheikh, or in good company, the kayfiyat of Iman increases. And when the kayfiyat of Iman increases, the person feels like doing so much. So in order to become successful in the hereafter, this item is very, very important, that the kayfiyat of iman increases. And number three, once a person has acquired tazkiyah, istiqamat on the tazkiyah, because after the soul becomes purified, it could become filthy again. After a person acquires increase in his kayfiyat of iman, it could decrease again. So istiqamat, firm, remaining firm on what has been acquired. These three things are very important. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمْ. Say, I believe in Allah, thereafter stay with istiqamat, firm. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those people who say, our Rabb is Allah, thereafter they remain with istiqamah. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَهْزَنُوا. At the time of death, they will actually see the malaika descending, and they will actually see and hear the malaika say, don't fear, don't grieve. وَابِشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ. We are giving you glad tidings of Jannah that was promised to you. We are with you. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. In this world, in the akhirah, don't worry. Istiqamah. Istiqamah. Fastaqim kama umirta. O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remain with istiqamah as you have been ordered to do. Fastaqim kama umirta. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu saw a few hair graying, a few grey hair in the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said with lot of grief, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innaka qad shibta. You are becoming old. You are becoming old. Until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away at the age of 63, his whole beard remained black. Only a number of people, a number of hair became grey. How many? That were countable. 15, 20, 24, 30.
But Abu Bakr had so much love that when he saw some grey hair in the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he feared the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "You have become old." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Abu Bakr, shayyabatni Hud, Surah Hud. Surah Hud has turned me into an old man. Surah Hud." When a person reads something which creates fear in his heart, then stress builds up, and then that makes him look older. See, that Surah Hud has made me old. Some ulama have said that when saying Surah Hud made me old, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was referring to this ayah only. Fastaqim kama umirta. That, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remain with istiqamah as you have been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because istiqamah is very, very difficult. So he feared that will I be able to fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. So purification of the heart, difficult, possible, not impossible, but difficult. With the help of Allah becomes very easy. Number two, increase in imani kayfiyat, difficult, not impossible. And number three, istiqamah, difficult but not impossible. The ahlullah, the awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the muttaqi servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are all unanimous that the most effective ibadah towards bringing these three qualities in a person's life is the tilawat of the Quran. So we need to increase tilawat as much as possible, my friends. Try to read it with tajweed, with correct pronunciation, slowly, slowly. Spend as much time as possible in tilawat in the month of Ramadan, outside the month of Ramadan also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. As mentioned over and over again, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi would recite one Quran during the day and one Quran during the night in the month of Ramadan. So 60 Qurans each, and one Quran in Taraweeh, so 61. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi would recite one Quran during the night of Eid and one Quran during the day of Eid. So 63 Qurans. Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, for a number of years, would recite one Quran daily in 24 hours. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, 41 Quran. And there were many sahaba and many tabi'een who would complete the whole Quran daily, outside Ramadan also. Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash rahimahullah ta'ala, for 30 years, continually he completed the whole Quran daily. Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan rahimahullah ta'ala, daily he completed the whole Quran for many years. And they would have so much imani kayfiyat and so much connection with the Quran, such a strong bond with Quran, that they would just go on and on reciting the Quran. When we recite the Quran, what is our culture? If we recite one juz on a daily basis, oh, I've still got 3 1/4 left. Oh, I still have half juz left. Oh, it's still quarter to go. Oh, one more page to go. And when we finish that, we feel so happy. And their culture was that they used to recite the whole Quran in one day, and when they would reach one nas, they would feel like reciting the Quran again. And if they had time, they would do so. Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahimahullah ta'ala, the great tabi'i. One day somebody met him, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. And during the conversation, this person felt that his tongue was heavy. He was not very, very clear in his speech. So he said, are you okay? He said, yes, I am fine, alhamdulillah. But your speech is not normal. So he said, yes, I have recited the Quran more than my normal routine last night. More than my normal routine last night. Now, normal routine was 30 juz. So more than the normal routine, 70 juz, 30 juz, 40 juz, 50 juz, 60 juz, more than normal routine. 1 juz extra, 2 juz extra, 3 juz extra. So he said, how much did you recite more than your normal routine? So he said, daily I recite 30 juz. Last night I recited 75 juz. 75 juz. He entered the Kaaba and following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam desired to perform 2 short rakat. Allahu Akbar. 2 short rakat. Sayyid ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala. 2 rakat. Short rakat. But when he began reciting the Quran, in the very first rakat he recited the whole Quran. Now people will say, how is it possible? Those of us who are interested in football, we can watch game after game, game after game, game after game. We never get tired. Some people who like watching films, they watch films after films, films after films, the whole night from after Isha until morning. I will sleep because tomorrow is Sunday. I will sleep during the day. We don't get tired. If we had love and interest for the Quran, we would also not get tired. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this strong connection with the Quran. And may Allah grant us the tawfiq to utilize all our free time in reciting the Quran this month. And may this connection with the Quran remain after Ramadan also, as Maulana Noor Muhammad mentioned. One rite of the Quran is that we recite it regularly. Second rite of the Quran is that we understand it by learning from the ulama, understanding from those who have understood the Quran correctly through reliable sources, by reading tafasir written by reliable ulama, authentic ulama, and by referring to the ulama those parts which we do not understand. And number 3, practice what we learn. And number 4, also preach what we practice. Preach what we have learned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbana ighfir lana wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. يا مسرف القلوب سرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتنا في بلد رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك اللهم اجعلنا من الذين إذا أحسنوا استبشروا وإذا أساءوا استغفروا اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في عالى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم اجعلنا من أتقاء شهر رمضان
لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبعفوك من عقابك وبك منك جل وجهك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم آنس وحشتنا في قبورنا اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب غمومنا وهمومنا وسائقنا وقائدنا إلى جنات النعيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولأهلينا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك.